Let's just go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this morning, Father, gathered with the believers, Father. And I pray, Father, that you'll, Lord, have your blessings on this part of the service, dear God. Anoint us, Lord, to bring this little teaching for a few moments, dear God, to for everyone to understand, even down to the little children, we pray. And we ask for your guidance in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. I want to read begin at verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do you in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. You may be seated. The first type of this, actually, in the scriptures, was the Passover that Moses and the Israelites ate when they were in Egypt. Before the Pharaoh released them. It was in preparation for the last plague that God was going to bring upon Egypt, to where he was going to slay the firstborn of all. He instructed Moses to instruct the Israelites to take a lamb and slay the lamb and take the blood from the lamb and put it on the lintel, which is a cross piece, over the door, and upon the doorposts. And they were to put this blood there, and then they were to come in there, their families in the evening, and they were to roast this lamb, and they were to come in, and it was a representation, actually, of the blood of Christ. Now, they didn't know this at the time when they were doing it for the first Passover. They didn't know the full type of what it was all representing. But it was a lamb that was slain, and its blood was put over the doorpost, and that it said when the death angel passes through Egypt, that when it sees the blood, it'll pass over you. And all those that are under the blood will be saved. And so they ate of this Passover, and the only ones that could eat of this Passover were those that were under the blood. And then Jesus comes. And when he's sitting down with the disciples to observe the Passover, which was kept from the time that they left Egypt, from that time forward, they always observed the Passover every year. And it was time for the Passover, and it was coming time, actually, that for Christ to be delivered up and to be crucified, although the disciples, they didn't realize all this while it was going on, that even though Jesus told them his time had come, there were so many things they just didn't realize. And so they were sitting down, and you know, many refer to this as the Last Supper that the disciples had with Jesus. It was, they were sitting down to observe the Passover. If you read in the scriptures, you'll see the disciples even mentioned to Jesus it was the time of the Passover coming up, and they were asking him what should they do, and he told them where to go to get a room and for them to come together and observe the Passover. And then, you know, it was during them, their observing of the Passover was when Jesus told them one of them was going to betray him. And that, you know, they begin to question who is it going to be, and that. And Jesus says, whomsoever dippeth the bread in the sop with me, that's the one that's going to betray me. And of course, we know that was Judas. And so then during that time, after the supper and that, then Jesus tells Judas, what you do, do quickly, which Judas took to mean Jesus was giving him permission to go ahead and do what he had already set up to do. And so Jesus, Judas actually left that supper, and then all that was left there then was Jesus and the others. And but it was, and then Jesus, while he's giving them of this, that we call the communion, he tells them that, you know, this bread that I'm breaking, it was a representation of his body. Now, they didn't realize it at the time that he was saying it, but he was breaking the bread because his body was going to be broke. You know, Isaiah prophesied and said he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. By his stripes, Peter says we are healed. But it was coming his time for this to happen. His body was going to be broke. So what he was instructing them to do, that as often as they do this, to do it in remembrance. When they take of the bread for the communion, it's in remembrance of his body being broken for us. And then he said, this cup that is the New Testament in my blood, and said that it represented his blood, which was going to be shed for them. And so when we come together to take the communion, we are doing it, as Jesus said, do it in remembrance of me. So we do it in remembrance of his body that was broke for us on Calvary, and his blood that was shed for us on Calvary. Now, there are some religions that have a different teaching upon communion and things, and some of them will come to a person that's dying, and they'll give them communion to save them. But communion has no value as far as a person can take communion. That doesn't save you. What saved you was the coming under the blood, and all those that took the Passover, as we were saying, in Egypt, and that they had to be under the blood. And all those that we come in to take the communion, we've already accepted Jesus as our Savior. We're already under the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're doing this in remembrance of what he has done for us. And, it's a commemoration, and you know, the Catholics, of course, teach that they can pray over the bread and it becomes his literal body, and they can pray over the wine and it becomes his literal blood. It's not the literal blood and body of Jesus Christ, but it's in commemoration of the literal body that was bruised for us, that was broken for us. It's in commemoration of the literal blood that was shed for us. Hallelujah. Now, Paul, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I read some of this on Thursday night, but I just wanted to touch on this part again. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and drop on down to verse 27. And Paul is writing here about what the Lord had showed him about the what had happened when he was having that last Passover with his disciples. But then Paul goes on to write here in verse 27. He said, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Hallelujah. Now, what Paul is writing here, that, you know, to the Corinthians, and we brought some of this out on Thursday night, he's trying to convey to them that this is a very sacred thing that they're doing in remembrance of Jesus Christ. And that, you know, taking the communion, it's not for sinners. It's for those who have accepted salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not meant for sinners to take it. It's not meant to be taken lightly. Paul even speaks in the first part of 1 Corinthians 11, and he was dealing with correction with the believers in Corinth, that for them to come, he says, you know, look, eat your meals and everything at home. Don't come. Some of them were coming, and they were, Paul said, they were eating like they were feasting. They were, some of them getting drunk and things like that, and he was saying, you know, don't come here and do that. You're desecrating this. He said, this is to be a holy thing if when you come here. And so he was giving them instruction. And, you know, then here the part that we read from verse 27 on, you know, let a man so examine himself. You know, look, judge yourself. You know, and if there's something, what Paul said, if there's something wrong that's in your life, then make that right before you come to take of the communion. Make that right, you know. And, you know, and the thing that you say, well, let's say that, you know, something come to you, maybe while you're even sitting here this morning, oh, I said something to someone else and all that. Well, I can't go to them right now. Just confess that to the Lord right now and tell the Lord that you'll go make that right with that person or whatever it is right after this is over, and then it's a done thing. And so, you know, there are people that, I said this on Thursday night, there many times you make a announcement you're going to have communion, and many of the people in the church sometimes won't show up because they think, well, I don't want to eat and drink unworthily, you know, unto damnation and be guilty of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so they say, well, I'll just be safe. I won't come. Look, if you are a Christian, you've got to do this. And Jesus said, do it in remembrance of me. So the thing about it is, don't let those things hang over your head. Don't let the devil beat you up over those things. But instead, just make whatever it is right. And, you know, as I said this again on Thursday night, look, if you think you've got to be living a perfect life, you're not going to be perfect in this flesh. This flesh is still in a fallen state. We're still in this sticky flesh. It gives us problems. Paul says, I've got to die to it daily. I have to daily crucify the flesh. And, you know, the flesh gets us into trouble. But if you've got the Holy Spirit, it'll bring conviction in your heart, and whatever you've done or said or whatever it is, you'll make it right. Then when you do it, then go forward, go on. You know, we are going to make mistakes in this life. But the thing is, don't make a habit of the mistakes. You know, if you continually do something and you're doing it, and you know you're doing it, and you just keep doing it, it's no longer a mistake. It's became a habit with you. And you need to to get right is what you need to do. And so, but, you know, there are people that they get worried when you announce communion because all of a sudden they start, well, you know, I haven't been living holy, you know, or something. And that, friends, look, it's his righteousness that we're claiming, not our own righteousness. Turn with me to John chapter 13. Now, this next portion of what we're going to cover is what Jesus did right after the Last Supper with the disciples. Verse 4, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now, you've got to take into what the custom was during this time to really see what Jesus was doing. The custom was that when a guest came into a house they were visiting, the first thing that would happen, there was a servant that met them at the door. And that servant was considered actually to be the lowest of all the servants. And what they would do, you realize they didn't have shoes and socks like that we wear around today, but they wore sandals and such on their feet. And, you know, they walked the streets, and there was dust on the streets. There was manure from the animals that walked on the streets. There was dirt and all these things. And so when they came into the house, you know, a guest wouldn't feel right to just go walking through the house with all of this filth and dirt and everything on their feet. So what the custom was, this servant that would meet them at the door would set them down there right inside the door, and they would get a basin and fill it with water. And then they would remove those sandals from off of the feet of the visitor, and they would take and wash their feet in this basin. And then they would dry it. And when they were doing, you realize they were washing all the dirt off their feet, all the manure and from the animals and all the things that were on the streets. And they were washing all of this away from their feet. And then they would take like a silk type slipper, and they would place it on the feet of the guest, and then the guest would be invited on into the house to visit. And so that servant, you realize, that was the lowest of all the servants. He had the lowest job of any servant in the household. He had to get down in front of somebody and actually wash all this muck and mire and dirt and manure and everything off their feet. And so it was a very humble job. It would be humiliating that this would happen. And then you remember when Jesus was invited, to Simon's house the one time. And when he got there, remember, there was nobody there to meet him. And what they would do, they would greet them with a kiss on either cheek. And then they would set them down, as I said, and wash their feet. But nobody washed Jesus' feet. And so there was a woman that wasn't even an invited guest that saw this happen. And so she comes and she gets down in front of Jesus and begins to wash his feet with her tears. And she then takes her hair and dries his feet with her hair. And remember, Simon, you know, he questioned Jesus about it. He said, if you know what manner of woman this was, because this was an ill-famed woman. She was a prostitute. And he said, if you knew what manner of woman she was, wash your feet. And so, you know, Jesus, you know, he says, you know, he says, he tells him a little story, a little parable. And then he tells him, you know, asks him a question, you know, about, and it's a little parable about this man that had forgiven these individuals, and he asked him who loved the most, and, you know, and so Simon says, well, he whom was forgiven the most, and so he says, you've said well, and then he looks at the woman, he says, her sins were many, are all forgiven her. This woman came in and took the lowest place. And so Jesus, after the supper, he sits down with his disciples. And here is the God of heaven. Here's the creator of heavens and earth. He deserved the highest place. He took the lowest place. He took what Brother Branham would refer to as the foot wash flunky. And he took the place of the lowest servant. And got down in front of the disciples and began to wash off their feet. He became a servant to them. And you know, and Peter says, when he sees this, you realize, you know, you think that it's humbling to get down in front of someone, but Peter felt, oh my, I can't have him do that. I can't bear to have him get down in such a humble place like that and wash my feet. And so, you know, then Jesus says, well, if I don't do this, then you don't got no part with me. And so, but Jesus, you know, he was doing this, and then he tells them, I'm doing this as an example to you. You know, the Bible says, he that will lift himself up will be abased, but he that shall humble himself shall be lifted up. And so, you know, the prophet says, don't try to be a big somebody. Just be who you are. Just be a little somebody, you know. So many people are looking to be some great something. You don't have to be a great something. But here, Jesus Christ became servant to all. And he said to be an example that we should wash one another's feet in representation of being a servant to one another. And so that's why we keep the communion. And that's why we do the foot washing. And we keep these things in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. And you know, it is an experience, you know, getting down to wash your brother and your sister's feet. But you know, it's really something, as Peter put it, it's really something to let your brother and sister get down to such a low place to wash your feet, you know. And so we do these things in remembrance. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you now to come and gather up here around the front. And before you found me, you have given life to me. Heartaches and broken pieces ruin lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. I'm going to take a few moments. And as Paul said, tarry one for another. It meant to pray one for another. So I want you to just pray for one another. And we'll just take a few minutes and you just pray. Amen for one another. Lord, as we gathered here this morning, Father, to come and to take of the communion, Lord God, in remembrance of you, Lord, I ask, dear God, that you will, Lord, just bless each individual, Lord, that takes of this communion this morning, Father. I pray, Father, that you will bless them in their lives. I pray, Father, that as we do this, Lord, may it be pressed upon our hearts and our minds, dear God, of what price you paid for our salvation. Lord, as you know, the Bible tells us, Father, they looked all through heaven and all through earth and could find no one worthy to take the book. And then John wept. And the elder said, weep not, John, for the lion of the tribe of Judah had prevailed. You come forward, Lord, as a lamb that was slain. Dear God, and you took the book of redemption, dear God. Lord, redeeming us, God, with your own life, with your own blood. Lord, purchasing. Lord, we, Father, were guilty and, Lord, deserved death, dear God. But you had took, Lord, our guilt and took our sins, Father, and you were slain on the cross, dear Lord. Father, for our sins, for our salvation, for our redemption. And Lord God, your blood, it dripped down from you, Lord, and touched even the very earth to redeem the earth again, Lord. And Lord, we're looking forward to one day, Father, when this earth will come back into a redeemed state. Lord, we're looking to one day, Father, where the elements of the earth, dear God, as you redeemed it, Father, it redeemed our bodies, dear God. And one day, Father, we're going to be in a redeemed body, a changed body, not this old vile flesh, dear God, that we live in, Lord, and contend with from day to day, but a perfect body, Lord, that'll never grow old, that'll never be sick, dear God. Father, we thank you for these things, Lord, and we do think of all these things as we partake of this communion this morning. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brother Phil, if you could help me, brother, and we'll partake of the bread. Paul said, for I have received of the Lord that which I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come." Was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows. thank you, Lord. Father, as we have now took of the communion, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, Lord. Father, you shed your blood for us. You saved our souls, dear God. Lord, we were lost, God, and you called out to us from the world, dear God, and brought us in, Lord God, under your blood. Lord, we thank you for that this morning, dear God, and we give you praise, Father. I pray, Father, you bless the people this morning, Father, as they go to become servants to one another, dear God, and washing one another's feet. We pray and ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, the sisters may go to the basement and to wash the feet. And the brothers, if you'll stay here, and we'll partake of the foot washing up here in the sanctuary. And hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving.